lock in this morning on the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In my recent studies, even just about the Trinity, I have come to a greater appreciation and love for God. So I thought I would just like to share some of that with you this morning. It's kind of, in some ways, an impossible sermon to preach because the Trinity is beyond what any of us can understand. But I still want to try to share some scripture this morning and just, I don't know, hopefully get us to a place where we just are just lost in wonder of a God, of a God who works three in one together, who is just so wonderful and brilliant. I've come to just appreciate it more, and I thought I'd just share a little bit more this morning. So I'd like to just kind of jump right to it. So first of all, as Christians, we believe that each member of the Trinity is a unique being. Each member is God, and they are all one. Now, there is actually no mention of the word Trinity in the Bible, but all throughout Scripture, they are identified. And so I'd like to read from a number of passages this morning. I won't read the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 1, but we're going to see that there's camaraderie in creation. So even in just verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And so right away, the Spirit and God the Father are defined in Genesis 1 as being part of creation. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we're going to read about Jesus' part in creation. It says, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So we can identify the connection of the Trinity working together in creation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, again, verses 1 and 2, it says, "To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout the region, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance." There we are able to identify distinct roles between the Trinity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 11, it says, "Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be one of mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another and know that we send our greetings too. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We also understand that all three members of the Trinity play a part in our salvation and our sanctification or our redemption. John 3:16, "For God the Father so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." There's God the Father, and Jesus the Son playing together there in our redemption. But in 1 Corinthians 6:11, we also read that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I just cannot get enough of the brilliance of the cohesive unit between the Trinity. I'm in wonder at how they work so perfectly together. Now, some people would suggest that okay, they're God, they're three distinct peoples, then they're also just one God. Some people would argue that that's a divine nature. But I choose to embrace the mystery of it. That maybe we just can't quite figure it out. And if we could figure it out, I feel like that might even kind of, in some ways, place a limitation on God. Because, I mean, he's just at a whole nother level. So I get excited when I think about the Trinity working together as one God. We also recognize that there is kind of a sort of a hierarchy within the Trinity, right? So Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 31, it says, this is Jesus talking, "The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, it says, "I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me to what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And we never see these roles reversed, which is why people identify it kind of as like a hierarchy. But if you think about it, you know, in some ways when we think about submission, that kind of feels like a negative word in our culture, right? Because that kind of implies like power or, you know, like one person above the other. But that's not what's happening here. Here, submission is an absolutely wonderful thing because they are so connected and on the same page that actually really works. And it's kind of a beautiful harmony amongst the three. When submission is done right, then it becomes very, very pure and wonderful and excellent. We can kind of consider it in some ways, some might consider it to like a marriage, right? Now, the man is called to be the leader in a marriage. That's from Ephesians 5:23, but that does not mean he's superior, right? They're equal. And so it is with the Trinity. We might also consider the submission like a It's like authority kind of like in different ways, right? So like, it could be like somebody initiates and the other responds, right? Or someone leads and the other follows. Someone directs and the other obeys. And it's not like one is higher above than the other. They just kind of fit together. They meld perfectly. You might even think of it like a teacher-student relationship or a boss or employee. Not one person's better than the other, but there is still kind of that hierarchy, and they're a cohesive unit. To me, that just, I love that about the dynamic of the Trinity. So the Father is kind of identified as the leader here. He kind of comes up with the plan. Jesus carries out that plan, and the Spirit applies that plan. Jesus initially sanctifies and creates that bridge to God, And the Spirit continues that sanctification. It's like God over us, Jesus coming to us, and the Spirit with us. So I've got to say, when I was studying these things about the Trinity, this is all stuff that's coming from the Alliance curriculum that I'm currently studying. I mean, I was kind of really overwhelmed by it. And I mean, there's just like so much going on there. And it's just like feels impossible. And I was talking to my professor about this, who said that he told me straight up, he's like, I have an answer to every single question. So feel free to give me questions. Now, of course, many a times, the answer to that question is going to be, I don't know. But I know all the questions, so feel free to ask. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that as an answer in and of itself. You want to ask me how to explain the Trinity? My answer might just be, I don't know. Because, like, God's that spectacular. And God's on a whole nother playing field. I don't think I really want to know, because I don't think I could handle. I think that'd be way too overwhelming. I love that answer. I don't know. I knew a pastor who told me, you know, I have learned to kind of write out my theology in pencil. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. There are secret things that belong to just God himself. And I think we can appreciate that, this element of mystery. So where does that leave us this morning? I'd like to share a couple quick personal applications. At least for me, these are things that have helped a lot. And then we'll close. So as we just read from Deuteronomy 29, the Trinity absolutely is a mystery. But this only enhances his glory. And we can embrace it. We can appreciate that mystery that surrounds God. I do. I love that we cannot figure God out. He's just set apart. He's infinite and we're finite. Again, if we could figure God out, wouldn't that kind of put him in a box? And so we can instead choose to embrace it, live in awe and wonder and worship of this indescribable Trinity. It should inspire praise, and it should make us even feel small and bring about a humility in our walks with God. And when we think about the Trinity and how each are equally God, do we consider each one? I mean, so many times there seems to be a lot of emphasis on God the Father and Jesus the Son. In fact, which is fine, you know, because Scripture, you know, a lot of people, Scripture even models a prayer for us, like to address God the Father and to pray in Jesus' name. But do we miss out on the Holy Spirit? And maybe not, because, you know, I don't think that the Trinity is in competition with each other. So when I pray to God or in Jesus' name, I don't think that the Holy Spirit takes offense to that and is like, hey, you're leaving me out. You know, I don't think they're offended by that. I mean, hey, we're praying to God and to Jesus, and that is good stuff. But I guess for me, I still kind of want to consider, though, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and I don't know if this is an appropriate example or not. Honestly, I'm still kind of processing through a lot of these kinds of things. I guess I just kind of want to be more conscientious of the Holy Spirit. I want to be conscientious of all three. And, you know, like, say in my relationship with my parents, if I kind of lock in on one more than the other, naturally I'll probably have that connection with the one. You know what I mean? So, and I guess for me, when I think about relationship to the Trinity, I kind of just want to be conscientious of all three, because I don't want to miss out on what the Holy Spirit has to offer. And I don't know if that makes sense or not. Like I say, I'm still trying to process through a lot of this stuff or not, but I do know I want to be listening for the Holy Spirit and just kind of include him conscientiously as I consider the Trinity. Because they're all God, and they're all unique. And lastly, I just want to suggest that we can take heart in their perfect fellowship and cohesiveness. I personally find comfort in their perfect unity. They all want the same thing, and they work together to make it happen. It's really brilliant. And a picture-perfect dynamic of what a relationship should be. And it's an everlasting love. And I come back to this. This is one of my favorite parts of, I come back to just God's name itself. I love the name Yahweh, which means I am. I just am that I am. I don't know if I can explain it any better. I just am. My name is Yahweh. God, three in one. And I love that so much. God just is that he is. And I find a lot of comfort and encouragement in that in and of itself. I understand this has been maybe a little more expository. And beyond what I'm able to communicate appropriately. And there may be some things here that, you know, still trying to figure out. Like I said, it's kind of an impossible sermon to preach. But as we're thinking about faith, and we're thinking about maybe participating in the church, or maybe some want to get baptized, I feel like these are things that we need to understand are fundamental to our faith. We shared the statement of faith today. And then I went in a little more depth about the Trinity. These are just foundational stuff as Christians. And so I just wanted to consider that this morning. If you believe in this stuff, I encourage you to get more involved with the church. We would love to invite you as members of the church. If you feel like, yes, like this is that statement of faith, yes, I believe that. We would love to, if you haven't trusted in Jesus for your salvation, we would love to talk to you about that. And maybe think about getting you baptized. We have, on September 7th, we're going to be doing our picnic out at Panhandle Lake. And that's an opportunity. We can do that even right away. But we would love to have these kind of conversations with you. Or, as I mentioned before, maybe you have questions, which would make sense, because I have questions too. We should all have questions. But maybe you want to talk about it at greater extent and depth, and we would love to have those conversations with you as well. Wherever you're at, I just want to invite you into the wonder of God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And be able to embrace the mystery, appreciate the glory of that dynamic, be able to enter into worship, to receive everything the Trinity has to offer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to acknowledge all three, and to just enter into that relationship and fellowship with the Trinity in a personal way. I just want to encourage us with that this morning. Feel free to piggyback on any of that. But I'd like to close with the Creed. And it's just a statement of what we believe as Christians. And I encourage you to proclaim that this morning in your heart and sing along in your heart as we play this song. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for the brilliance of the Trinity. Thank you, God, just for some of those basics of our faith, which really just paved the way to be able to do life and give us an opportunity to spend eternal life with you, God. I mean, these kinds of basics, Lord, they just inspire worship. And I love, God, that you have given us an opportunity to have relationship with you and include us in that. God, it's beyond us. And forgive me, Lord, if I have misspoken in any way, but boy, it's quite a mystery. And we just want to ask you in, Lord, as we just try to process this and consider how it fits into our lives. But thank you, God, that you are so brilliant that we can't quite explain you to a T, because you're just that good. You are Yahweh. I am. And Lord, we love you, and we worship you, God, in all of that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I I appreciate that Nate brought out the idea of wonder that surrounds God and the Godhead. I've always kind of reacted in a certain way to people who feel like they have all the answers and who so define theology that they've got A, B, C, C1, C2, C3, and they've got it all figured out. It's all lineal. It's all processed. There's room for just wonder in God's presence. You know, we can acknowledge the puzzles, the riddles, the mysteries, and say, I don't understand it all, but I trust in him. Because he knows the end from the beginning and works all things after the counsel of his will and will bring about his purposes, his prophetic purposes will be fulfilled because he is God. So let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for what Nate shared this morning. It's more on the doctrinal side, and yet it was personalized because he's embraced this, and it changes the way that he looks at you and worships you. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place, we will leave with a strong sense that your presence goes with us and that you will be with us throughout this entire week. Let people see the life and the light of Jesus in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.